Welcome to this deep dive. And we're going to be talking about something kind of surprising. We're looking at narcissism, but specifically how it relates to feeling ostracized and excluded. And the source material for this is really interesting. It's a blog post from Davenport Psychology, and they break down a recent APA study. And it challenges a lot of our assumptions, I think, about narcissism. And the question that it poses is, could narcissists actually be more sensitive to
Well,
feeling excluded than the rest of us?
totally. It really flips the script, doesn't it? I mean, we tend to think of narcissists as being, supremely confident. But, this research is really pointing to like a vulnerability that we might be missing.
It is. It is. It's a bit of a head scratcher at first. So let's set the stage here. When we say narcissism, what are we even talking about?
Let's define our terms. So we're not just talking about like someone who just loves taking selfies. You know what I mean? It's really narcissism exists on a spectrum. And on one end, you have healthy levels of self-esteem and confidence. But as you move along that spectrum, we start to see traits like a need for excessive admiration, a sense of entitlement, and having a really hard time empathizing with other people. And then, like on the far end, you have narcissistic personality disorder, which is a clinical diagnosis.
Okay, so how does this research that we're looking at, how does that fit into all of this? What did they find?
Well, they found that people who score higher on these measures of narcissism are actually more likely to perceive ostracism, even in situations where it's not clear whether they're actually being excluded or not. So it's like they almost have like their radar for social rejection is on high alert.
So let me just make sure I'm following. So someone could be feeling left out, even if no one is actually intentionally trying to exclude them. It's more about how they're interpreting what's happening around them.
It's all about their subjective experience. And I think about that quote from Dr. Christiane Büttner, the lead author on this study, and she said, "Feeling ostracized is a subjective experience based on the perception of social cues by the individual. Some may be intentionally ostracized, while others may merely believe they are being excluded when that's not the case."
And I see what you're saying. So it's kind of like that classic example of someone who walks into a party and just assumes that everyone is ignoring them when in reality, no one has even noticed them yet.
And that's where this study gets really fascinating, I think, because think about it. The people that we often see as being overly confident, the ones who, seem to have this like inflated sense of self-importance, might actually be the ones who are most sensitive to that feeling of rejection. It's interesting.
It's a real paradox.
It is.
It completely changes how you might view someone who is exhibiting those narcissistic traits because there is a vulnerability there. That makes you think about the why behind the behavior. So do you think this sensitivity is something that kind of develops over time, or is it more deeply ingrained? Like, where does that come from?
That's a great question, and there are a couple of schools of thought on that. So some researchers believe that this sensitivity to rejection could actually be a result of early childhood experiences. So, for example, if a child consistently felt ignored or unimportant, they might develop this like hyper awareness of social cues, almost as a way to protect themselves from further hurt.
So they're constantly on the lookout for any sign that they're not being included or valued. Okay, so it's a defense mechanism.
And then on the other hand, some researchers believe that there might be like a biological component at play as well, suggesting that some individuals might just like literally from birth be more sensitive to social cues than others. So it's likely a really complex interplay of nature and nurture.
So if someone is constantly feeling excluded, whether it's real or perceived, how does that then affect their behavior? How does that play out?
Well, think about it this way. If you are constantly feeling threatened, like you're not being accepted or valued, you're much more likely to react defensively. You might withdraw, you might become argumentative, you might even lash out at others. And so it becomes this really like self-fulfilling prophecy. You fear rejection. So you act in ways that push people away, which then confirms your fear of rejection.
So it's that vicious cycle we were talking about. We're trapped in this pattern of feeling excluded, reacting negatively, and further isolating themselves.
And that cycle can have a really devastating impact on relationships, both personal and professional. It can lead to conflict, mistrust, and a real breakdown in communication.
So knowing all of this, knowing about this link between narcissism and feeling ostracized, how can we use that information to help people?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is it even possible to break out of that cycle?
Absolutely. And that's where therapy comes in.
Okay, so let's talk about how therapy can actually help someone who is maybe struggling with these issues.
You know, imagine a space where you can safely explore like those really deep-seated insecurities and fears
mm-hmm.
that often fuel these narcissistic behaviors.
Yeah.
That's what therapy offers. And it's not about like curing narcissism.
Right.
But it's really about providing tools and strategies to understand its roots, manage those tendencies,
mm-hmm.
and ultimately build healthier, more fulfilling relationships.
So it's more about empowering someone to kind of navigate their narcissism in a way that minimizes that negative impact mm-hmm. it can have on their life and on their relationships.
Exactly. I mean, therapy helps individuals develop, you know, healthier coping mechanisms for dealing with criticism or perceived rejection.
Yeah.
Because let's face it, everyone experiences those things at some point.
Yeah, for sure.
But for someone with those strong narcissistic traits,
yeah.
those experiences can be incredibly triggering, you know?
Yeah.
And it often leads to those like defensive reactions we were talking about. So therapy can help them kind of develop more constructive ways of responding.
So it sounds like a lot of this comes down to shifting their perspective a little bit.
Yeah.
Helping them see things through a more balanced and realistic lens.
I mean, remember we were talking about how, you know, people with narcissistic tendencies often misinterpret social cues.
Right.
And they assume the worst, even when it's not intended.
Right.
So therapy can really help them challenge those assumptions.
Yeah.
Recognize those thought patterns.
Mm-hmm.
And really develop a more accurate perception of their social interactions.
So instead of automatically assuming that everyone is out to get them.
Right.
They can start to maybe see things more objective.
It's about helping them understand that not every slight is intentional.
Right.
Not every disagreement is a personal attack.
Yeah.
You know, it's about really separating their own insecurities from the actual situation.
It really makes you wonder how much of our own, like, happiness and well-being is tied to our perception of the world around us.
Well,
if we're constantly seeing everything through a negative lens, assuming the worst.
Right.
It's no wonder we feel isolated and unhappy.
I mean, our perceptions really do shape our reality.
Yeah.
And while we can't control everything that happens to us,
right.
we can control how we interpret and respond to those events.
Yeah.
And therapy helps people kind of develop that sense of control.
Mm-hmm.
It empowers them to create a more positive and fulfilling social reality for themselves.
So it's not just about changing their behavior, it's about changing their mindset.
Yeah. It's both, really.
Yeah.
You know, the two are so interconnected.
Yeah.
When you change the way you think,
yeah.
it naturally changes the way you behave.
Right.
And when you start behaving differently, it reinforces those new thought patterns.
Yeah.
It's like a positive feedback loop.
This is all making me think about early intervention.
Yes.
We briefly touched on it before, but you know, if these patterns are starting to develop early on,
mm-hmm.
wouldn't it be even more effective to address them then before they become like deeply ingrained?
You're absolutely right. Early intervention is key. I mean, think about it. If we can help children and adolescents develop a more accurate and healthy perception of social interactions.
Yeah.
From the start.
Right.
We can potentially prevent a lot of unnecessary pain and conflict down the road.
It's like giving them the tools to navigate those like inevitable social bumps and bruises that we all experience, especially during those formative years.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, adolescence is already a time of such intense social pressure and self-discovery.
Right.
So imagine how empowering it would be for a young person to understand that feeling excluded doesn't necessarily mean they're being rejected.
Right.
It's not a reflection of their worth.
Yeah, it would completely change their approach to those situations. Instead of withdrawing or lashing out, they could approach those challenges with more resilience and confidence.
And that confidence would then spill over into other areas of their life.
Yeah.
You know, it's about setting them up for success in all aspects of their lives, not just their social interactions.
This all ties back to something you said earlier about therapy not being about curing narcissism.
Right.
It's about learning to manage those tendencies
yeah.
and minimizing those negative consequences.
Exactly.
And it sounds like early intervention plays a huge role in that.
It does. By addressing these issues early on, we're not just helping individuals,
right.
we're helping families. We're creating a more positive and supportive environment where everyone can thrive.
It's fascinating to think about the ripple effects, how addressing these seemingly individual issues can actually have such a profound impact on the people around them, on their families, their communities, even society as a whole.
It's all interconnected.
Yeah.
You know, we're not isolated islands. Our actions and behaviors affect those around us, just as their actions and behaviors affect us.
And speaking of connections, one thing that's been on my mind throughout this whole deep dive is the role of relationships in all of this.
Yeah.
If someone is struggling with narcissism and this heightened sensitivity to ostracism, how does that affect their ability to form and maintain healthy relationships?
That's a crucial question.
Yeah.
And it's something we definitely need to explore further. Well, you know, it can be really challenging.
Yeah.
Imagine being in a relationship with someone who has this like constant need for admiration.
Yeah.
Someone who is, you know, very easily feels slighted or criticized, even when it's not intended.
Right.
You might find yourself constantly walking on eggshells.
Right.
Afraid to trigger, you know, their defensiveness or anger.
Yeah.
It can be incredibly draining.
It sounds emotionally exhausting. What's having to tiptoe around someone's sensitivities like that?
It really can be.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, because individuals with narcissistic traits often have a really hard time with empathy.
Yeah.
It's difficult for them to understand
the
impact that their behavior is having on their partner.
Yeah.
They're so focused on their own needs and feelings.
Right.
They may not even realize they're hurting the other person.
So it creates this like imbalance in the relationship where one person's needs are constantly being met, but the other person's needs are being neglected.
Exactly. And that can lead to a lot of resentment and frustration.
Yeah.
And, you know, ultimately a breakdown in communication. It becomes a lose-lose situation.
This makes me think about couples counseling
that
Davenport Psychology offers. Is that something that could be helpful in a situation like this?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Couples counseling provides that really safe and structured environment for both partners to express their needs and their concerns. It can help them develop healthier communication patterns.
Mm, yeah.
You know, learn to empathize with each other's perspectives.
Right. And ultimately work towards building a more balanced and fulfilling relationship.
So it's not about like placing blame or labeling one person as the problem.
Not at all.
It's more about understanding the dynamics that are happening.
Exactly.
Recognizing how both people's behaviors are contributing to the problem and then working together to create some positive change.
Yeah.
You know, throughout this whole deep dive, we've mostly been focusing on the challenges associated with narcissism.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm curious, is there a flip side to this at all? Are there situations where these traits, this sensitivity to rejection that we've been talking about, could actually be beneficial?
That's a really interesting question.
Yeah.
And while narcissism is often, you know, viewed very negatively, there are some researchers who suggest that certain aspects of it, when they're channeled appropriately, can actually be assets in certain contexts.
Okay. I'm intrigued. Tell me more.
Well, for example, someone who's very attuned to social cues
might be really successful in fields like sales or marketing,
where
reading people and understanding their motivations is absolutely crucial.
So it's almost like that sensitivity to rejection, that fear of not being liked, could actually drive them to be more persuasive, more attuned to what their clients or customers need.
Yeah. And, you know, that drive for achievement and recognition, which is often associated with narcissism, can also fuel a lot of ambition and innovation.
Right.
Think about, you know, some of the most successful entrepreneurs and leaders throughout history.
Yeah.
A lot of them possessed traits that we would now consider narcissistic.
So it's not necessarily about eradicating these traits. It's more about learning to manage them.
Yeah.
Harness them in a way that is productive.
Yeah. I think that's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
It's about finding that balance.
Mm-hmm.
Recognizing the potential pitfalls.
Right.
But also acknowledging the potential strengths.
This has been such an eye-opening conversation.
It has.
We started out with this seemingly simple question about narcissists and their sensitivity to rejection.
Yeah.
But we've ended up exploring so much more about, you know, human nature, relationships, and even the potential upside of traits that are so often viewed negatively.
Yeah.
So as we wrap things up, what are some of the key takeaways that you hope listeners will walk away with from this deep dive?
Well, I hope they walk away with a more nuanced understanding of narcissism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not black and white. It's this complex spectrum of traits that can manifest in so many different ways.
Right.
And while it can definitely present challenges, it's not a life sentence.
Right.
With self-awareness and support and a willingness to grow, individuals can really learn to manage those tendencies and build really fulfilling lives.
I think there's also a really powerful message here for all of us,
yeah,
regardless of whether we identify with having narcissistic traits or not.
Mm-hmm.
It's a reminder to be more mindful of our own perceptions, to challenge our assumptions,
yeah,
and to really cultivate empathy in our interactions with other people.
Beautifully said. I mean, we all have our own insecurities and sensitivities.
Right.
And recognizing that can really help us all navigate the world with more compassion and understanding.
So to wrap things up, let's leave our listeners with a final thought to ponder as you continue to think about your own experiences with feeling excluded or rejected, whether you identify with narcissism or not. Ask yourself this: how might this new awareness of our own sensitivities help us navigate social situations more effectively? And remember, the Davenport Psychology blog post we mentioned is a great resource if you want to dive deeper into this fascinating topic. Until next time, keep exploring.